Evening, Earthlings. How's everybody doing? All right. I'm here to take you back to the future, which is now the past, because the moment that Marty McFly visited was about 4 hours ago. Although maybe it's California time, so maybe it's right now. Who knows what's happening? It's right this very moment. This very weird. It was 7 minutes ago, folks. This is an hour ago, something like that. It is, let's see, is it daylight savings? Anyway. All right, so I've got a slide deck here for you that I call Back to the Future of Back to the Future. And when this slide deck hits slide 88, you're gonna see some serious shit. So, this very moment, it's very rare that there's a moment in media that is so specific. You know, it's not, sometimes you get a month, sometimes you get a year. It's very uncommon for you to have a month and a year and a day, and they even said it was Wednesday, which they were right, and an hour. This is very weird. But before we travel to that version of Back to the Future, of that moment, we have to understand where they came from the last time they departed. Because looking around, not all of you were with us in 1985. Many of you were, but I'm from the 70s, and let me tell you, the 80s were crazy. And we're gonna learn a lot about the 80s by looking at it through this lens. So first of all, in 1985, this was the internet. There were 2,000 machines on the internet. DNS was brand new. DNS had launched in 1984. There were about 2,000 hosts, and it was still possible to draw with a pen a map of the entire internet. And you can see down here at the bottom, maybe reproduced freely, not for sale. That's what the internet was like in the 80s. Nothing was for sale. Then everybody on it was on either at a university or perhaps at IBM or in the military or the spooks or those kinds of things. But there were no regular people on the internet. And in 1985, we had just seen the release of the first ever cell phone, the Motorola StarTAC, if I recall correctly. That was in 1985, and it was a big advancement over the car phones that you couldn't take out of your car, which were also only for men. All right? This is the way that these products were marketed. Call your secretary, take dictation at 55 miles an hour, not 88 miles an hour. And back in the 1985, if you wanted to make a credit card transaction, you had to use one of these. Anybody know what this is called? A knuckle buster, that's right. These are called knuckle busters. And either the business took your word for it that your credit card was actually valid, or you stood there while they picked up the phone and punched in the number if they had a touch tone phone, and it received authentication from a person at the other end. So credit card purchasing was kind of a mess back then, but it was still growing very quickly. Also in 1985, if there was any home automation at all, it looked like this. Anybody seen one of these? Newtone home intercom. It also had a connection so you could hook your record player up to it. It was a very unique system. You could talk just to one room or just to another room. And this was about the extent of home automation. Televisions looked like this. They came in just a few sizes, topping out at about 23 or 24 inches. This was around 1985, we start to see digital tuners. So you can see remote, you can see, you no longer have to dial it in. It's got a little digital display. That was very cutting edge to be able to have all that information. Also in 1985, we had the release of Microsoft Windows 1.0. It wasn't the blue screen of death, it was the blue screen of life. It was when you booted it up, this was what you saw. And it came free with an amazing new tool, Microsoft Paint, which only came free because it came free in the other world. This is what Apple looked like. This had just released. This was a big deal. Everybody was very excited. Monochrome machine, 128K of memory. Very cool things. This is what Google looked like back in 1985. And this is what Facebook looked like in 1985. And this is what Mark Zuckerberg looked like in 1985. Now, there was no Google. This is a joke. There was no Google back at this time. Google was your library. That's where you went if you had questions. All right. So this is what Facebook looked like. This was Mark Zuckerberg looked like. And this is what charismatic frontmen looked like. This is Huey Lewis, very famous in Back to the Future. He was a very big star. It's not fair of me to use such a recent picture of him, but frontmen have changed a lot in the past 30 years. Speaking of charisma, here's Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. Now, these two had worked together on a number of films. The first film they worked on together was 1941. They wrote that together. Spielberg was the executive producer. Zemeckis directed it. Then they worked together on Used Cars, the Kurt Russell vehicle, literally. And on that film, again, Zemeckis directed. Zemeckis and Gale wrote together. Spielberg didn't have anything to do with this one too much. And then Zemeckis produced Romancing the Stone. The executive producer on this film was Michael Douglas, for some reason. This film was a big hit. It was also after Taxi, one of the films that introduced Danny DeVito to an American audience. He was a very popular film, and it was one of those films that lets the director get a blank check, right? He could do whatever he wanted. He'd been trying to shop around this time travel film for about 15 years at that point. Finally, he could make the film. So Zemeckis and Bob Gale wrote it together, and they started production on Back to the Future, starring Eric Stoltz. Yes. Eric Stoltz was originally cast as Marty McFly. They did like 3 months of shooting, and then they decided this isn't working. And there was a story where everyone in the cast and crew knew that Stoltz was getting fired and that someone else was coming in, except for Stoltz. And they had 3 more days of shooting like this. Can you imagine? That's a tough set. Can you imagine? Is this like, can I do it again? No, it's okay. It's okay. We got it. So, of course, they cast America's sweetheart, Michael J. Fox, in the role. The rest is history, and President Reagan was very, very happy about this, to see a young conservative character. Of course, he didn't really know Michael J. Fox's politics, but that's the way things worked. And he was very excited. In fact, when Back to the Future screened at the White House, Ronald Reagan made them rewind it and go through the Reagan joke 3 times because he thought it was so funny. And in that time, you had to say, go tell the projectionist to stop the film and re-reel it, because there's, of course, the joke where Doc asks Marty, who's the president? And he says, Ronald Reagan. He says, Ronald Reagan, the actor? Who's vice president, Jerry Lewis? Oh, pretty close. So, Back to the Future was a huge commercial success. There had never been anything like this. It was a magical combination of boomer nostalgia for the boomers, exposure of boomer hypocrisy for Generation X, a time-traveling sci-fi story, and just a wonderful, engaging family drama about your mother falling in love with you, right? So after this movie was hugely successful, they weren't sure it would be successful. It was very touch and go. But because it had this really broad audience, it was one of those films that built its audience every week as people went and saw it. So it was so successful, of course the sequel had to be made. And boy, if he had a blank check before, he really had a blank check now. And one of the biggest innovations of this film was it really launched modern product placement. And it was a big experiment in it, and it really created the bullshit we have today in the film industry. So thank you, Robert Zemeckis. So, now here we are. This is the moment, October 21st, 2015, 4:29 p.m. We're going to look through the movie. We're going to kind of meander around it in a bunch of different ways. And for each thing that they show in the movie, we're going to judge whether it was a miss or whether it was a hit. Okay? Now, before we do that, we got to talk just for a moment about time travel. All right? So they have the DeLorean. Of course, when the DeLorean hits 88 miles per hour, it suddenly travels through the fourth or fifth dimension, depending on what type of mathematician you are, and then travels to the next point. Now, we all know how much power it takes, right? 1.21 gigawatts. Gigawatts. We pronounce this with a hard G because we are not monsters. All right? You soft G people should be ashamed of yourself. However, you can't deny the comedic genius that 1.21 gigawatts is a much funnier phrase than 1.2 gigawatts. So we're gonna give them a comedic pass on that one. So now, wattage is a measure of rate. It's not a measure, it's not an amount of power, right? But we can tell from looking at the movie that a time jump takes about 10 seconds. Once it hits 88 miles per hour, you get the flamey tracks, you get all the sparks shooting out. Of course, because 1.21 gigawatts are traveling through these wires, they're glowing very hot. So it takes about 10 seconds to make a jump. 1.21 gigawatts times 10 seconds equals about 340 kilowatt hours, okay? Now, I promise there's not gonna be a lot of math, all right? However, we know that a bolt of lightning can power the machines. Like, well, is that true? And actually, a bolt of lightning, Wolfram Alpha says, is 1.5 gigajoules, and 1.5 gigajoules is about 400 kilowatts. So they talked to a scientist before they decided this, because a bolt of lightning does have enough energy to produce 1.21 gigawatts for 10 seconds. Nice work so far. What's interesting about this is that that's about $65 worth of electricity. Your home uses that amount of power in about 2 weeks. And millennials, homes are places that you live and they have roofs and you own them, okay? It's not fair. This is what our parents talk about, right? It's not your fault. It's the boomers' fault. Okay, so. However, how did they get past that messy plutonium? Because plutonium radioactivity, they're wearing vinyl suits that will somehow protect them, who knows? Fusion, right? They've Mr. Fusion. Do we have fusion? Actually, sort of. There is fusion, and a lot of progress has been made in fusion since 1985. This is a tokamak, okay? Tokamak is a magnetically contained fusion reactor. Now, fusion is how the sun works. You take helium and deuterium, and you smash them together, and they become heavier molecules, or heavier atoms, rather, heavier nuclei, and some energy is released, okay? Now, it's really tough to contain this. This is what it looks like inside a tokamak when it's running. Now, so far, these use a huge amount more power than they give off. It's not anywhere close to being a reasonable power supply. But we're getting there. It's baby steps, right? This is the electricity that it takes to feed the tokamak when it's running. Okay? All those electric, the transformers are immersed in a giant pool of transformer fluid, and all that lightning across the top is what's called flashover, right? That looks a lot like what comes flying off of the DeLorean when they hit 88 miles per hour. But this isn't the only fusion technology that's being researched. There's also inertial containment fusion, which uses a tiny little fuel pellet like this. This is a mixture of deuterium and tritium. And when you bombard it with lasers, you might be able to get it to fuse. Again, it takes really huge lasers, really huge amounts of power. This is the Shiva laser. Now, you might recognize this. Anybody recognize this laser? It's from Tron. This is the laser that beams them into Tron. They shot this at this facility, which means this technology is from 1985 again, because fusion is perpetually 30 years in the future. It will remain that way for our entire lives. All right, now, when you use fusion, you make a conversion of mass to energy. That's an equation that all of you probably know. E equals mc squared, that's what it is. The energy contained in matter, okay? So. Say that we take 1 gram of matter, multiply it times the square of the speed of light, that equals about 25 gigawatt hours of power if you convert an entire gram of matter. However, most fusion reactions only convert about 0.1% of the gram of matter. So let's assume that Mr. Fusion is only a tenth as efficient as that, and it's only converting 0.01% of the mass into power during a fusion reaction. That works out to about 250 kilowatt hours per gram. So that means you only need 1.5 grams of fuel mass, about a banana peel, to be able to power your fusion jump. So again, the math is right on the money. However, we do not have Mr. Fusion. We do not have home fusion power. So that is definitely a miss. This is a long ways away. But also, I want to give Bob Gale a bit credit here. We don't know that Mr. Fusion is from 2015. We know Doc went further forward. This could be from 3015. Who knows? Although you'd think it might get a little attention, but we do see other fusion powered devices in the world of 2015. So it probably is. All right. So what's the very first thing Doc says when we're about to leave? Rhodes? Where we're going, we don't need roads. We don't need roads, okay? And then they make the jump, and it's a road, all right? It's a road in the sky, but right off the way, it's a miss. First of all, here in 2015, we very much still need roads, but they needed roads too. But the very first thing that we see other than this road is that they apparently have some kind of anti-gravity and self-contained power. There's these floating lights just floating there in the air, right? It's floating, and it's powered, and it's amazing. Well, we don't have anti-gravity. That's a very big miss. Remind Ali G that we do not have anti-gravity, right? However, what's the other thing that we experience through this whole film is constant traffic in the skyways. They now have the third dimension and it's still gridlock end to end. Air traffic, well, we certainly still have air traffic and it's a lot worse than it was 30 years ago. It's just usually we're traveling 300 people at a time. But it's, you know, if you look at the animations of all the air traffic in the US now, which has grown immensely since 1985, there is a lot of traffic up there, and congestion is a very real thing, and it's affected all of us. Air traffic, yes. However, then they also say that you can convert your car. And of course, he's a used car salesman and the mayor, so it's a total pile of bullshit. What does he say? He says, soar above the traffic. Up there is where the traffic is. That's the whole problem. So hover conversions is not something we have, but it's also very interesting to think about conversions in general, because here in 2015, we don't convert shit. You throw it away, right? You don't convert your phone to the new phone, right? You throw it away. Mailbox conversions. You can see this mailbox has been retrofitted with something. We do not have mailbox conversions. Privatized postal service. Now, I'm making an assumption here. There is a joke about the postal service. It's kind of an off joke, but you can see on the machine, it actually says pack fax. Now, there's two possibilities there. One, either the Postal Service has been privatized or the U.S. has collapsed, and this is the Pacific States of America, all right? So who knows exactly what that is, but the point is they retrofitted shit. We don't do that anymore. So that's a miss. Then you also see this Jeep, a Jeep with retro rockets. Now, it's not entirely clear. Is this? I thought they had anti-gravity. Why do they need rockets? Well, we don't have Jeeps with retro rockets. And look, there's Robert Preston's car from The Last Starfighter. You see, when he comes to pick him up from Earth, that's his car. They scraped up all the weird-looking cars off the lot to make this movie, including a 1989 Ford Probe with wheel skirts. We absolutely have 1989 Ford Probes with wheel skirts. And you know there's Back to the Future fans out there who have converted them. One other thing. Floating self-powered signage. Again, we talked about the floating, we talked about the self-powered. We do not have floating self-powered signage. However, what I love about this, we do still have Kiwanis. We do still have that weird neighborhood watch sign. We do still have Rotarians. We do still have public sector unions for the moment. We do still have the Lions Club. And we still have 4-H. That's a lot of hits. That's all good stuff. Anybody know what that other one is? It's like a weird tree. I couldn't quite figure out what that is. Maybe it's some future Scouts of America sort of thing. Anyway, we still got all this stuff. That's good stuff. Now, with anti-gravity comes a lot of really great new technology, a lot of applications. We're just assuming that the standard model has somehow been solved, and we understand gravity, and you can make anti-gravity machines. And of course, what's the first killer application for this? Levitating elder mobility devices, right? So you've got your elders floating around. They're floating around upside down. Obviously, we do not have levitating elder mobility devices. However, we do have inverted seniors, okay? So we're doing good with some of this stuff. All right. Another killer app for anti-gravity technology is a dog walking drone. You can see it back there in the background. The drone is walking the dog. What do you think about this one? Yeah, we got dog walking drones. We got drones walking dogs. Absolutely, look at that. Now, however, of course, the catch is, this video is kind of it's not exactly a hoax. The drone is actually walking the dog, but that's a really good dog. You know, he's doing a good thing here. So I'm giving this a split decision, a hit and a miss, because we do not have commercially available dog walking drones. And you would flip your shit if you saw a dog being walked by a drone down the street for about another 5 years, then you won't think that it's so weird, right? Okay, another thing that we see, because they have anti-gravity cars, they have automated refueling. Now we know they have fusion power. Why they still use gasoline? It's because Texaco paid a lot of money for this shot. So you've got this in here. We do not have automated refueling stations, nor do we have gas that is $7.25 a gallon, unless you're in Europe, which is the way that that works. However, this is something that may be coming. Here is the Tesla automated refueling snake. It finds the car, it plugs itself in. That's not creepy. Now, you don't have these in your home yet, but you will probably have them in your home. So I'm going split decision on that one, and they're coming for your spinal column next. All right. So now let's talk about gadgets for a minute. One gadget that we see very early in the film is the sleep-inducing alpha rhythm generator that Doc uses to put Jennifer to sleep. We do not have sleep-inducing alpha rhythm generators, but I thought if we did, you'd surely find it on Amazon. So I went and looked on Amazon to see what type of sleep-inducing devices they have, and I found this thing, which is called the Dreammate. The Dreammate, okay? And looking at the reviews, this device obviously does not work at all. So this is a total miss. We do not have sleep-inducing devices. We just have slightly fancier BS to strap to your wrist. So one thing that comes up a lot when you look at Back to the Future, and especially at this moment, is what happened to the smartphones? Where are the smartphones? It is one of the most dominant technologies in our world, and you don't really see it in Back to the Future. And Bob Gale actually gave a quote about this recently, and he said, it's the Swiss Army knife of today. The fact that everyone can have one device that's a computer, that's a camera, that's a recording device, that's a calculator, that's a flashlight, we didn't think of that. Well, of course they didn't think of that, because look at the Radio Shack ads. Every single thing is a separate device. They hadn't started having convergence yet. And of course, as people have noted, if you look at a 1991 Radio Shack ad, every single one of those applications is an app now on your smartphone. Your smartphone has replaced all of that, which is why we no longer have Radio Shack in 2015. Or, a kind of rotting husk of Radio Shacks is what we have. Okay, what other personal devices do they have? Tablet computing, check. We have totally got tablet computing. Save the clock tower, thumb $100. This is something we absolutely have. Very good prediction. We also have wireless instant data access, and the cops pretty much had it in 1985 too. More like 1990 that they started having packet radio that the cops could actually have attached to computers in their cars. But she's got a handheld device there. It's something that she can scan the thumb. Now we also have universal biometric auth. We do not have this, and it's really interesting. There's lots of biometric devices, but you cannot, there's not a central registry and you can't thumb all over the place and get accepted. And what's most interesting and actually kind of hopeful about this is I don't think we'd accept it yet. I think that people would not use this if it was a centralized server. Now, that might change, but for now, this is something that the market isn't ready for. However, neither do we have Parrot is my co-pilot, right? That is a miss, but I've heard that Uber is working on it. So I'm gonna give that a pass. Now, when they get home, which they have Jennifer thumb her door, you know, the cops help her thumb her door, and the door opens, and you can see AT&T, your phone company, controls your house, right? Now, for a lot of us, the phone company does not control our house, but for some poor suckers, they have signed up to let Comcast bring their stellar customer service reputation to unlocking your front door, right? I gotta give this a split decision too, because yes and no, some people are using this. Now, once they get inside the house, there's clearly voice-controlled home automation. She says, lights on, and the lights come on, right? So that is definitely something you can do now, right? That technology exists. However, it is not at all in widespread use. So I'm giving that a split decision as well. Now, here, I wanna take up a brief moment here, and let's talk about the police. Now, we know that the two police that pick up Jennifer are both female cops, right? They're, as in Hollywood in the 85, they're immaculately manicured, they have these long ponytail braids, but they don't have a firearm, okay? They don't have guns. Now, we don't know what that nightstick thingy can do. You know, it might be a really powerful weapon, but they certainly don't have a firearm. And the other thing that we see when we see the picture of Griff's gang getting arrested is all the cops are women. That is not something that we have right now, an all-female police force. But an all-female police force with no guns sounds like a pretty good solution to the problems of 2015, right? So, going down this list, though, there's a lot of really interesting ones in this newspaper headline. The top one, thumb bandit strike, identity theft. They go around amputating thumbs of patients in the hospital. Identity theft, check. Okay, we got that. Man killed by falling litter, probably not. You've had turd sickles falling from airplanes. I don't think they've ever killed anyone, so that's a no. Tokyo stocks up. Today, Tokyo stocks were up. This is actually tomorrow's news because it's the 22nd, so hopefully it'll still be up tomorrow. That's a check. Then we've got Swiss terrorist threat. This has actually been in the news. ISIS has been inciting terrorism in Switzerland. Switzerland just had sort of the opposite of Canada's election in terms of they took a big turn to the right. So terrorism in Switzerland may be in the news. That's a pass. Shredding for charity, you can absolutely shred stuff for charity and donate all your used electronic stuff for charity, all that kind of stuff. I don't think that we first start donating cars for charity, but that's a big deal now. President says she's tired. Not quite, but maybe. We'll see. All right, what's the next one? Queen Diana will visit Washington. So tragic, not only that they would think that Di would still be alive, but that Elizabeth would no longer be reigning. We missed on that one. Okay, good guess though. All right. Kelp price increase. There was recently an effort to restrain kelp harvest because it's threatening natural habitats. So I suppose kelp prices may have increased. We'll give that one a pass. Then we have pitcher suspended for bionic arm use. With all of the sports enhancements, we have not yet had bionic implants come up in sports problems. So that one's a miss. Then finally, we have slam ball playoffs. There's not really a new sport. We can assume this is an e-sport perhaps, but having e-sport news on the front page of USA Today isn't quite yet happening. So that's a miss. And then the final one is the Jaws without bite. We'll come back to that. All right, so another piece of technology that we see is Doc has got this little thing. Of all the things in the movie, this is the thing that looks the most familiar, right? That really looks like a smartphone. And he uses it, so we've got that. That's a check. And when he looks through it, he gets augmented vision, right? He's able to see some data. He's able to see distance to things. And what else does he see in this shot? A news drone. The USA Today news drone that has a sign on it, painted by a sign shop that surely closed in 1987, that says, always there first. USA Today. So news drones, we'll come back to that in a minute, but augmented vision, check. News drones, yes. CNN has been authorized by the FCC to use drones in their coverage. Whether or not they're still allowed to use journalists remains to be seen. So, but we do have news drones. Another thing that Doc sees through the little camera, something that no longer exists, public payphones. We especially don't have shiny new public payphones. This is something that missing the smartphone caused a cascading chain of causality that resulted in us not having payphones. However, there's a little sign down there in the corner. Sale on now, 1 week only, breast implants. Okay? So I thought, So we do not have public payphones. Discount breast implants? Yes, we have discount breast implants. That is something that exists in 2015, so nice job, guys. All right. So in this shot, you really see, look, he's carrying his iPhone. It's right there. He's got it with him the whole time. So that's just one of the devices, though, and we don't see it getting a lot of data other than when he holds up to his eyes. But there's this other set of devices that you see in many places, the visor displays. You see Doc have it in the car. It's clearly connected to the car's systems. He can see the rear display in that visor. Then you've got the kids at home with their visors and their fancy newfangled stuff all shining over. Now, of course, this is a total hit, all right? This is the Microsoft HoloLens. It's coming out this year. Remains to be seen if it will suck or not. But people have actually used it, and they say it's magical. So, and now, when non-journalists are saying that, then we'll be in business. So this is an interesting product, but that's definitely a hit. Similarly, this is the patent issued January 15th of 2015 for Magic Leap, which is a competing product to the HoloLens. And that looks like a concept drawing for Back to the Future 2. Right? So this one, geez, that is right on the money, visor displays. So while they don't exactly have smartphones, what they do have is interconnected personal tech. You've got the camera, you've got the thumbprint reader that can do cash transactions, and you've got the visor display. Those three things together pretty much equal the ecosystem that makes up our smartphones. So while they didn't realize how far things would converge, and if you lived in the 80s, you wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, they did see this network of interconnected tech and how it would be used by the people living in 2015. So that's a total smash. It is maybe the most impressive thing they predicted. And nowhere is it more clear than how much they nailed this than the shot of the dinner table. Right? Yes, that's right. They nailed it. You can't tear the kids away from their dinner table, their devices at the dinner table. The teens are glued to the devices at dinner. Yes. Now, right around this time is when Marty McFly of the future gets home from work. What's the first thing he goes to do? Check the smart thermostat, right? And he changes it and it goes lithium mode on. He says, damn kids, right? Well, we absolutely have smart thermostats, so that's definitely a hit. However, dad must also constantly still adjust them. So that is also a hit. That's very impressive. I speak from experience. So then Grandma Lorraine goes over to the wall and she says, oh, look how worn out this is. And they say, the Scenery Channel, broadcasting, you know. Well, we don't have the Scenery Channel. It's actually called the Window Channel. All right? So we absolutely have the Window Channel. And actually, it's not the Window Channel. It's the Window Channel Network. They have a whole set of window channels. On the Dreamwell Channel, you can preview a 3-hour tropical sunrise. Right? Sounds lovely, right? Okay. So they nailed that. And really, TV is probably the thing that they nailed the best. Wall mount flat screen multi-channel TV. It's even like he adjusted to keep it hanging straight. This is dead on. And actually, Bob Gale said, I would put money on the TV. You know, he pulls up 7 channels. One of them is an old Mind's Eye computer graphics from the 80s. One of them is an atomic bomb going off. One of them is a breast enhancement commercial. One of them is the Weather Channel. And then the other one, I'm not quite sure. Oh, and then there's a Bill Plimpton cartoon. So again, that kind of dates it. So that they totally nailed. We got that one. And the best thing about this, what does he do when he goes to sit down and watch it? He sinks himself into his personal tech again. Right? So that is right on the money. Watching 8 channels of TV and also using your handheld device at the same time. Nice job. So Grandma Lorraine goes to make the pizza. She goes to the food hydrator. Now, of course, we do not have food hydrators. That's a myth. But if you went back to, or that's a miss. If you went back to 1985 and showed someone a picture of a sous vide machine, they would probably think, oh, it's a food hydrator, just like in Back to the Future. So we're pretty close in that. However, what's interesting about this is how does she control it? She says, hydrate level 4, please. She talks to it. A light comes on to show that it's listening. That's dead on. That's exactly what Amazon Echo does when you talk to it, right? So you can talk to this device. It takes voice commands. You can talk to your phone, ask it important questions. All kinds of things. This is totally right on the money. Voice commands have become a major part of what's going on. And just in case you're not catching this, the best thing I ever did with my iPhone was said, Siri, call me you schmuck. And that's just been, the payoffs are just over and over and over again. The best thing about the voice commands is that the devices all talk back. All right, and voice synth has come a long, long way. So when you compare Siri to Lord of the Manor, King of the Castle, Your jacket is now dry. All the weird voices. Well, that was one very famous speech synthesizer, and it's called DeckTalk. DeckTalk was actually a hardware product that was produced by the Digital Equipment Corporation around 1982-83. It was a serial device. You sent it a string of text, and it decided how to pronounce it for you. The engine inside this became the progenitor of lots of different speech synthesizer units. So is DeckTalk still in use here in 2015? Well, actually, yes, because that's Stephen Hawking's voice of choice. He still uses DeckTalk, not the hardware, but the synthesis module. And if you ever use the DDA parking garages, until very recently, those things use DeckTalk too. So DeckTalk is absolutely still in use here in 2015, and that was slide 88. So yeah, I just equated Professor Hawking to a parking machine. So there's your serious shit. All right. Home hydroponics. He hits the thing comes down, there's grapes, there's bananas growing and all that kind of stuff. Fortunately, we still have the Cavendish banana here in 2015. We'll see if we still have that in 2025. But home hydroponics is something that hasn't really made it into the kitchen yet. So I'm giving that a miss. However, there have been huge advancements in home hydroponics in the past 30 years, but none of them are food. So that's a double miss. Okay. Now, here's a moment right after dinner. Marty gets the big call. He goes into the den, and he says, as naturally as you can imagine, in here, please, right? Totally natural thing. Go find a home automation system that can respond to that positively. First of all, I like that he shows Generation X is probably going to continue to be polite to our devices our entire lives. We're going to be saying thank you to Siri and please and all that kind of stuff. We personify them. I blame Johnny Five. So when you get through that, in here, please, that is not something that's going to work. However, the other thing you see in this shot is ubiquitous Bowflex. We do not still have ubiquitous Blowflex here in 2015. However, video calls, right on the money. Perfect. Nailed it. And this was something that, as I said, Bob Gale said, I would have put money on the ubiquity of video conferencing come 2015. And while you don't do it a whole lot in your personal lives, except if there's a baby involved, in business, it's ubiquitous. Even in situations where a phone would do just fine. We're Skyping and looking at people sitting there looking at us, right? So video call standard, total hit. Another thing about this is apparently Flea somehow becomes respectable. Or at least respectable enough to hold down a job that he then embezzles from, right? This actually turns out to be very prescient because, as we all know, Flea is now a beekeeper. So Flea has gone totally respectable. Flea has become completely legit. Now, back in the den, we have these helpful metadata overlays showing us what are his favorite foods, what are the things he likes. Everyone who calls, this data is just overlaid in there. Now, we don't have this on phone calls yet, and Skype doesn't have this integrated, but you know, Facebook has all this data. And now that they've bought Oculus, we're likely to have unavoidable helpful metadata when we're doing video conference calls. So, once Flea convinces McFly, he calls him chicken, right? Nobody calls me chicken. So Fly gets his briefcase out, and on the top of his briefcase is a motorized portable swipe card reader. Of course, we totally have that. Like most things, it's a lot smaller, but that's a total miss. And then, of course, what happens? He makes the swipe, he gets in on the deal, he closes it. What's the next thing that happens? The Jits calls, his boss. However, the phone doesn't ring. The boss just starts talking into his living room. So the boss can interrupt you whenever you want. He didn't have to answer the call. He had to answer the call from Needles. But the next thing we know, there's Fujitsu-san up on the screen. McFly! He's very pissed, and he didn't have to wait for McFly to answer. So the boss can interrupt you whenever you want. If he's got your cell phone number, yeah, that's happening. You're getting texts any hours of the day, so that's a hit. Then the other thing that we see from this is that the boss also has total oversight of all your communications. I was monitoring that scan you just interfaced. The only thing that's not realistic about this is that it's real time. What's most likely to happen in 2015 is you do something like that, and the next day that card doesn't work when you get to work, right? So that's the only thing that's unrealistic in that, but otherwise, boss having total oversight of your comms, yes, that is very likely. And then, of course, read my facts, the big moment. We laugh about this a lot, but you must not work with a lot of lawyers. Because the fax machine is alive and well here in 2015. Because ubiquitous faxing may not be everywhere, but there's still a lot of documents that are insisted to be signed and faxed in and back. High, expensive law firms have moved on from this, but the cheap ones haven't. And a lot of vendors, if you do any work with vendors, will still require you to fax in something. All right, so we've got Fujitsu-san, Marty gets fired, all that stuff. So in this scene, we see one of the greatest enigmas of this entire film. The double tie. Where on earth? Hey, we got someone wearing a double tie in the audience! Nice work. So we've got the double tie, right? And this image is great. It says Lord of the Manor, King of the Castle, which is what the house says to Marty when he gets home. Now, I have my own theories about where the double tie came from when it comes to 1985, because people wore lots of unnecessary things. But it's still a mystery as to where this came from, and you certainly don't really see it in the wild other than on Halloween here in 2015. But I did find this picture, and it gives us a hint about where this comes from. This is an election poll worker. He wanted to wear a tie, so he wore two. One of them is a Democrat tie, one of them is a Republican tie. That is exactly the sort of origin story that is plausible for the double tie. However, we're going to say two ties is a miss because you don't really see that. Similarly, two ties with an integrated vest like this fellow has, the two ties spread out and wrap around his waist, we certainly don't have that. Now, does anybody know who that guy is? It's Charles Fleischer, the voice of Roger Rabbit. Roger Rabbit was the film that Zemeckis produced between Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2. So Roger Rabbit got his part in this movie. So what's one of the first things that we see from Doc? And this kind of brings us into fashion. So let's go through some of the fashion. It's a little unfair to pick on the fashion because fashion is so much less driven by technology and more by style and whim and what a pop star chose to wear one night. So fashion is weird, and we got to give them a pass on a lot of this stuff. But one of the first things that's in fashion is you see rejuvenation clinics. Right? Doc went to a rejuvenation clinic. He says he got a new spleen. He says he got a new colon. He peels off his face. He looks not very much different, right? That's a great joke. Well, we absolutely have rejuvenation clinics here in 2015. So that's a hit. However, I don't think anyone in 1985 would have been able to predict the role of botulism. Because botulism is the most important tool for rejuvenation clinics at this point. So that's a hit, but this is a little weird. Now, here's another thing about fashion. One of the first things Doc says is, pull your pant pocket out, Marty, all the kids do this. Well, we certainly have kids doing weird things with pant pockets. That's a hit. Clothing with embedded functionality. We got the smart jacket. There's a lot of funny jokes with the smart jacket. Now, there is clothing with embedded functionality. This is a jacket that has a built-in media player. Most interestingly about this one is it also has a thermocouple in it, or not a thermocouple, a thermogenerator that draws power to charge the system from the person's body heat. So that's pretty cool. That's a hit. However, this was from 2002, a dot-com bust ago. So I'm saying that's a miss because that hasn't come along in the 13 years since that prototype. That has not become ubiquitous. However, in September of 2015, there was a symposium for smartware, clothing with embedded biosensors. So that is a big thing that's come along. Now, of course, then we've got the awesome auto-lacing light-up shoes, right? And we say, man, wouldn't it be great to have those awesome auto-lacing light-up shoes? Well, it's really easy if you're four. We've had them since the 90s. This is not something so exciting and new, so that's a yes. But now we have awesome auto-lacing light-up shoes for adult males, okay? So that's a yes. I think they made 1,500 of these pairs. I was trying to find out if they all actually had power laces. You can definitely charge them and they light up. I wasn't sure if they actually had power laces, so I wandered into shoe nerd land on YouTube. Shoe nerds are really weird, and they're really into shoes. In this video, he takes a sniff and describes what the shoe smells like. All right? So shoe nerds are really into shoes. I never found out if they actually lace themselves or not. I think it might be just the one around the ankle laces itself. They don't really tighten themselves up in the movie. However, that's an example of self-adjusting clothing. Do we have self-adjusting clothing here in 2015? Well, somebody made a self-adjusting belt, probably because of today. So that's a yes, but you wouldn't wear it except to a Back to the Future party, so that's a no. All right? Self-adjusting belt. Now, let's look at the antagonists, the punks, okay? These guys have some really interesting fashion. Punks always have interesting fashion. But let's step through some of these, all right? Meat tenderizer hat, no. We don't have the meat tenderizer hat. Body armor that makes chicken noises, we don't have body armor that makes chicken noises. Painted on soul patch, not yet. One contact that's a different color than the other. We definitely have that, especially if you're doing Steven Universe cosplay. That's a very good thing. And there's one thing here that they totally nailed. And that is the ammo choker. Etsy is all over the ammo choker. I don't think any of them are live rounds, but it's still a pretty cool thing. That's a very good. We have ammo chokers. But what about the facial circuitry tattoo? Is this conductive paint? Does it connect his earrings to his nostrils? We don't know what it's doing, but people sure have been inspired by it. We absolutely have that. So that's a hit, facial circuitry tattoos here in 2015. Another thing, one of the first things that Doc says to Griff is, careful, he's got a few short circuits in his bionic implants. Do we have bionic implants? Clearly, it's a little bit of a wedge issue in 2015 in the movie because it says at the bottom of the picture, gang leader has bionic overloads. Not just bionic implants, but he's overloaded them. So Here we got teens messing around with their bionic implants. Yes, we have bionic implants. We have the cochlear implants. It's freaking amazing. We have retinal implants. It allows the blind to see. Things have gone very well in the past 30 years. So that's a check. We also have teens experimenting with implants. And this dude implanted an RFID active battery-powered thing inside his arm. And as his shirt says clearly, he's the bomb. Hope you don't plan on traveling on a plane soon, dude. So kids today, can you believe them? Another thing that we see, and we certainly saw this a little earlier tonight, is a lot of things are broken, right? The thing won't detract, it won't go back up, the screen's got static in it, the thing is broken. Maybe that's a commentary on the McFly's social status, maybe it's a commentary on the overall decrepitness of it, maybe it's just comedy. However, that smart jacket is dangerous because maybe it's missing a firmware update. And I recommend for all of you to read Werner Vinge's outstanding book, Rainbow's End, which has a very key plot about what can happen to you if you fail to update the firmware in your shirt. So watch out for that. But in our world, we know a lot of things are broken and they continue to be used. So I'm calling that a hit. All right. One other thing here, outlandish children's headgear. I don't know what to make of this. There's a lot of really weird children's headgear in this movie. Hers actually spins. It's some kind of an optical disc. Now, this is the closest I could find. In China, they have some very outlandish sun visors. So that's kind of a hit. However, nobody on Earth is being asked to wear the kinds of ridiculous stuff that these guys are wearing. He's got the fluorescing Lisa plastic visor. This kid has the colander and the bowl on his head. You know who that is? It's baby Elijah Wood. That's who it actually is, his first screen role, Elijah Wood. So, outlandish childhood headwear, we have some, but not all of it. Some call that a miss. Now, what do they say when Marty demonstrates the Nintendo arcade machine to them? He say, it's like a baby's toy. You have to use your hands, it's like a baby's toy. Now, absolutely, babies have to use their hands. Do we have any toys where you don't have to use your hands? Well, there's this thing, which is called Mind Flex. You have to enter an alpha state to be able, and you have to enter more of an alpha state than the other guy to move the ball back and forth. It's basically impossible to play. Nobody likes it. So that's a hit. It exists as a product, but I'm calling it a miss because it's boring. Similarly, this is not so different from Kinect, which has found much better use in research labs, as well easier today, than as a video game controller. So that's kind of a double miss because these idiots can't even control their game. So, however, I'm gonna take back one of the misses because this is a quadriplegic who can now play video games because he has electrodes implanted in his head. And he's able to do XY games. He can play Pong against people. That's freaking amazing again. So that's definitely a bit of a mix. Now you have to get implants, and maybe at some point we'll all have them. Now, in that scene, they're at Cafe 80s. The restaurant is filled with TVs. Nice job, guys. You totally nailed that one. However, there's something missing in this cafe. Nobody is working at the cafe. Here in 2015, you cannot find a cafe where people are not at least pretending to be working, right? Because in 1985, if you wanted to work, you had to be at work. That's something that's changed a lot. So nobody works at cafes, that's a miss. Apparently people work out at cafes. We do not have that, so that's a miss as well. But when they see that machine, one of the things they say, my dad told me about this, video game nostalgia, which they totally nailed. Video game nostalgia is huge. I have a Triforce tattoo. Yes, this is a big deal. So video game nostalgia, yes. And we see more of that when Marty goes to the nostalgia shop in the middle of the town square. Now this is the middle of downtown Hill Valley. So this is not a thrift store. This is like a fancy high-end knick-knack shop. So out of these things, which of them would you honestly find in a 2015 downtown real estate knick-knack shop? Well, a Macintosh SE, maybe. All right, a lava lamp, definitely. The Roger Rabbit doll in box, perhaps. Zemeckis, nice, all right. The happy face icons, maybe, but a lot of these things are outright misses. An iron, no. Thrift shop, maybe. An answering machine, no way. Video cam. A bottle of Perrier, I don't think so. The big TV, no way. A shower head, are you kidding me? There's no way you're gonna find a shower head. Burger Time for ColecoVision, I don't think so. Then you have the two Jaws games, right? Jaws 1 and Jaws 2, pretty rare to find this stuff at a vintage knick-knack store. Now you can get it downtown and get your game on, but they actually don't go back this far. So in 2015, you're not really gonna find computer games from the 80s in the store, so that's a miss. Now we got, of course, Jaws 19, right? Now, this is a bit of a throwaway joke, of course, similar to in Spaceballs, coming up next, Rocky 5,000, right?
However, no franchise has hit 19 films, with the exception of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which doesn't really count because those aren't really single franchises. Batman's pretty close with 13 films, but nothing has hit 19 films. So, Jaws 19, we don't have that. Do you see over on the side? Directed by Max Spielberg. Max Spielberg is a director. No, he's not a director. Probably because of this moment, Steve. Nice job. Don't project that shit onto your eight-year-old. Now, of course, now that we're talking about the outdoor displays, we gotta talk about this moment, and it's happening right now. The Cubs are actually in the World Series, and right now the game is going on, and if they lose, they're out. And what would be more Cubs than losing today of all days? That's right. Woo! So, the Cubs win the World Series, we don't know yet, but we know they won't do it against the Miami Gators, whoever that is. So, good throwaway joke. However, outdoor video advertising, this is an interesting thing. We actually have this now. We see this in Blade Runner. But that's not Blade Runner, that's Beijing in 2013. This is not from the movie Blade Runner, that's actually Beijing. So, we absolutely have outdoor video advertising. So that's a yes. But do we have open air displays? This is just floating there on the screen. Now, one thing you can see, there's a couple of bright sparkles in this image. You see them? You can see them back in the hover trend thing as well, a little bit in Jaws. This is an open air display, folks. This device uses femtosecond lasers, and where the lasers cross, it ionizes a little bit of air and it emits a spark. They have animated butterfly with a display unit that's mounted in a truck. Open air holographic displays. So we've got that. But they're certainly not full color, and they're not in every town square, so that's a split decision. Now, one of the things I love about this, of course, is that when he goes to buy the almanac, and this is a critical plot point, he goes to buy the sports almanac, books are curios. She explains to him, now, this is a book. It has a dust jacket. This is what these are for. Books are not curios in 2015, no matter what the Wall Street Journal wants to say. Books are not curios. However, also in 2015, apparently small towns still have daily newspapers. We don't have that anymore. Even though this is USA Today, up in the corner it says Hill Valley Edition. So they got both those things wrong. However, one thing they totally nailed is that obsolete optical formats are garbage. Look at the bundles of laser discs and CDs and DVDs there in the background. Nice job, guys. They totally nailed it. Now, this brings us to thinking about what life in Hill Valley was really like and what downtown Hill Valley in 2015 was. There's a lot of throwaway jokes, and some of them more accurate than others. Like, there's the joke about the government controls the weather. He looks at his watch, and he says, wait 5 minutes, and the Weather Bureau is so efficient. Obviously, we don't have government control of the weather, but if he had looked at his visor, so we were thinking about he was consulting a forecast, we absolutely know these days if it's going to stop raining in 5 minutes with pretty good data from apps. So that's kind of a little bit of a split, but the government doesn't control it yet. Further, the joke, now that they've abolished all lawyers, probably the most far-fetched thing in the entire film. We'll give that a miss, because that's just a bit of a joke. Now, one thing that they definitely have is you hear a couple references to it through the film. Addictive electronic stimulation. The cops say, you just got a little tranked. There's a reference to trank heads. So clearly, there's some sort of a public health crisis involving addictive electronic stimulation. Now, we say we don't have that, but I say we do have that. And Candy Crush is no less addictive than a trank head. So that's a split right there. All right. Similarly, we're assuming based on this technology, they have suspended animation kennels. Einstein goes to a suspended animation kennel, never felt a thing. All right, Doc, whatever you say. So we don't have suspended animation kennels. And in fact, in the past 30 years, housing for dogs have probably gotten better than housing for millennials has. So this has not been a very... I'm commiserating with you. I'm not taking cheap shots. You guys are in a tough spot. It's not your fault. I'm commiserating. All right, so... Now, one thing that's really interesting is about from an urban planning perspective, all right? Hill Valley, 1955, gorgeous, bustling downtown. You have this gorgeous green right in front of the courthouse. You have a beautiful, cute little stationery store, all right? That's 1955. When you get to 1985, and that's the 1985 of the first film, the park has been replaced by a parking lot. The stationery shop has been replaced by an adult bookstore. The only people you see downtown are really bums. It's really showing how bad downtowns were in the 80s. It's not kidding. This is, especially in towns of this size, this was still when people were going to the mall all the time, and it hit the downtowns really hard. However, back in 2015, you've got to revitalize downtown again. It's come back. You have urban development. You have new structures downtown. The adult The adult bookstore is no longer an adult bookstore. Look, the Hare Krishnas are back. They're parading through Hill Valley. That's how you know that urban development is working. The Hare Krishnas have come back. You've got mayor. And of course, the interesting thing about this from a, it's a definite statement about urban planning, is that the 80s were a bad time for downtowns. We need to get back to their natural spot because it's the suburbs that are dangerous. And they say this in the movie. Hilldale, oh man, that's a dangerous place. You don't want to go there. Meanwhile, Marty from the 80s, when he sees they live in Hilldale, he's like, oh man, we live in Hilldale? We're living it up. It's great. No, 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 buddy. The suburbs are where all the meth is now, or tranking, or whatever the equivalent is. So this is all a very interesting series. So I think overall they got that very right. Now, we're almost done, but there's one technology we haven't talked about yet, and we got to talk about it. The hoverboard. All right. So... I worked at a toy store in the late 80s, and the most constant question we would get at that toy store in the late 80s is, when is Mattel going to allow you to sell the hoverboard? Right? There were a lot of people who believed that the hoverboards were real and had honestly thought that there were parents groups that were keeping them from being released because they were too dangerous. And so this is the Snopes page about the hoverboard myths, very enduring urban legend of the late 80s. And I was puzzled about it and where it came from until when I started researching this talk. And I found an article that talked about how Zemeckis got so sick of saying it was wires when people asked him how the hoverboards worked that he started telling people in press conferences, and he says this on the DVD, that they got one from Mattel that parents groups would not allow them to release. So Zemeckis planted this. He planted this urban myth. He created it himself. And it is so enduring, you see it in media for years to come. And so now, you know, a hoverboard is something, there's some ways of kind of getting at it. This is just a simple magnetic one. It's a desk toy. You can't really hold any weight. But it floats. It's cool. It's actually floating. But it's become such an enduring idea that the myth has really caused a lot of reality. So a couple years ago, Funny or Die did a secret project they called Hover, and they released a video that really was not very convincing. Of Tony Hawk was in this video, Christopher Lloyd in a DeLorean was in this video, Mark Cuban, giving his stamp of approval for some reason, was in this video, making people think that hoverboards were really coming. And people wanted to believe so badly, they really bought into this, and a few days later it was revealed as a hoax. So this been enduring. Now, home hobbyists have been experimenting with hoverboards for many years. 4 leaf blowers and a trash bag is really all you need. So this is an inventive guy. Hover bikes, this doesn't look dangerous. You know, it's what's going to go wrong with that? He's actually sitting on top of a boxer engine. So that hasn't gone so well. But recently there have been some developments. And here's one of the developments. The first true hoverboard, perhaps, was the Hendo hoverboard. This is an electromagnetic hoverboard, so it uses a balance of repulsion and attraction on a copper-coated halfpipe to be able to do a small amount of levitation. And here's Tony Hawk actually using it and almost killing himself trying to ride this crazy thing. And you see very quickly, not even Tony Hawk can stand up on this precocta thing. He's riding all over the place. That's one of the jackass guys being a jackass. So clearly, this is not the true promise of a hoverboard fulfilled. It can't really steer, but it is hovering. It is floating. It is magnetically levitated, so they're getting close. Then, fairly recently, there's a new technique that has been discovered with superconductors. It's called quantum locking. And one thing that can happen is if you position a superconducting disk in a strong enough magnetic field and give it a little push, it becomes locked at that set of magnetic field lines and can glide around frictionlessly. This is not a hoax, folks. This is the real thing. This really works, and this is true technology. All right, so that was about three, four years ago that those videos started coming out. So with this big day coming up and all the brands lining up to see how they can harness this enormous power of goodwill that they themselves didn't build, Lexus decided they were going to get in on this. So Lexus took superconducting magnets, attached them to a board, and made what is about as close as we have yet gotten to a hoverboard. This is the real deal. You can actually stand on this. Now, you can't steer because there's no sideways force. There's no trucks. Once you start set it down, it can only go forward and backward. All right? But it can... I mean, it looks pretty convincing. This guy manages to stay on it for a few minutes. He bails before it gets to the water. It goes gliding across the water, which is about 1/4 of an inch deep. Because in order to do this, you need a electromagnetic skate park. Your entire skate park either has to be lined with permanent magnets or electromagnetically charged. So hoverboards, yes, if you have a superconducting skateboard with enough liquid nitrogen to keep it cool in California, an electromagnetic skate park, all right? So yes, sort of, mixed judgment. However, there's one lesson that we can take from this whole thing, and that is that when it finally happens, when the standard model gets solved, or whoever's brainstorm it is, or the aliens gift us this technician, this technology, the first commercially produced anti-gravity device will be a pink skateboard. We know that this will be true. All right, so the world that Marty visits in 2015 is a pretty amazing place. They've made a lot of predictions in a very short amount of time. They clearly had a lot of fun with it. It's enormously entertaining. So from the things that I've looked at today, let's do a tally. All right, and from what we looked at today, they had 63 misses and 72 hits. So that is pretty damn impressive. In my opinion, the greatest hits of 2015 are TV and video conferencing, which they totally nailed. Display visors, which 2015 is the year for display visors. We'll see if anyone wants to buy them, but they're coming. Downtown revitalization is definitely a big thing in 2015. And of course, Orwellian data infrastructures are all the rage. Now, what are the biggest misses of 2015 via 1985? Newspapers, that's probably a pretty big one. Faxing, it's not as ubiquitous as they show. Anti-gravity, not gonna happen. But bigger than that is lawyers. So, with all that in mind, if there's nothing else you remember from tonight, and one takeaway I want you to all walk out of here with, it's this. All of us, everyone, every single one of us, are trapped in the timeline where Biff has the almanac. So thank you very much. You've been an absolutely wonderful audience. I hope you'll all stick around for the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. I am not qualified to answer questions about any of this, so I'm not going to take one. But thank you all very much for coming tonight. Thanks for supporting your library, and have a great night. Back to the future!